What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Opinionated, outspoken, informative.
The Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
All right, everybody, good morning. It is the Jaguar Journal. Hope everybody's having a great day. Listen, it is Saturday. You know what time it is. It's 7 a.m. It's bright and early in the morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Listen, we're going to have a very, very interesting show today. I hope everybody has enjoyed dealing with Juneteenth. I hope everybody has enjoyed the summer so far. Rain and, you know, we've been dealing with this tropical storm that came through the South Arthur, dumped a lot of rain. I saw, you know, over in Simsport, man, just a sheer amount of rain that fell in a short amount of time. Then looking on the other side, you know, all across the South, from Texas all the way over to Georgia, dealing with the weather. And we're going to have some special guests here in the studio this morning. They're coming in now. You guys, come on. Come on in here. Come on. Not over here. Yeah, come on in here. Let's go and get it going this morning. We live on the radio, so I hope you guys know. So, yeah, have a seat. You get in over there. There you go. There you go. This is live radio, so sometimes we just going to have to improv. What's going on, my man? Come on in here.
Blessed. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Come on, get in here. Good. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. How are you?
Doing good. So this morning we're going to be talking about the East Baton Rouge Council on Aging and have an opportunity to, you're just going to pull right on up and talk to me. Okay. And we're going to be talking about the EBR Council on Aging. And guess what? There's a vote coming up. And we want to make sure that you guys understand how important it is for this vote and what it does and what it means for the citizens of EBR. We have two citizens of EBR right now. And I guess, let me take it, you guys are supporting the East Baton Rouge Council on Aging.
Yes, we are.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yes, wholeheartedly.
So give everybody out there your names. What are your names? We'll start with the madam first.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Carolyn Wooten, and I attend the Perkins Road Council on Aging Center. It's a wonderful place for seniors. I voted. You need to vote.
My name is Barney Huggins, and I am a member of the Cheneyville Community Center up there in the woods. And I definitely voted for Council on Aging. I mean, this thing is, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing for us, when I say us, meaning seniors, which I am a senior of 75 years. But, you know, that's, we got to have it. We have to have it. It's worthy for us.
They say our mic is very low, Mike, so be able to turn up. Yeah, there you go. You know, years ago, you were a Southern grad.
Exactly, 1973.
You talk like Coach Kadar when he talk about 1900. And exactly. Years ago, I met you at the Bayou Classic, you and your wife, and that video went viral of me interviewing you guys.
Wow.
That video still goes around to this day. You,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, I did
a
Bayou
sure
Classic
do.
Video, and
I
you guys sure were there sitting yeah on the corner, and I was going around interviewing a lot of people.
Exactly.
So, full circle moment, you know. And
right.
I'm glad to have you guys in the studio to give clarity of how important it is for the East Baton Rouge Council on Aging. Because I don't think a lot of people, if you don't directly know, you don't understand how many people's lives are impacted
exactly
by the everyday operations of
exactly
the East Baton Rouge Council on Aging. And I start with you in terms of just being involved with your senior center. And I don't call you senior center. It's seasoned. You're well seasoned, okay? It's like that spaghetti. It gets better by the day, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I don't mind being called a senior because I am. I'm a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need people to understand what the Council on Aging does for you. I mean, hot meals, transportation, housing, healthcare screenings, if you need a walker, a cane, this is the place to go. We're led by an administration that has a vision for seniors, not just those of us who are taking opportunity of the services right now, but those coming up. Young man, I'm not sure how old you are. I'm not saying you're a senior. One day, you'll get there. And we need these services.
Mm-hmm.
The millage is a renewal. It's not a new tax. It's a renewal.
Let me do this real quick. Mike, anything going on with her microphone? Because it's saying it's still low. Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll just use these mics because, I mean, she is close. Here, so just speaking to that one. There you go. And that'll work. There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Hear me now. Okay. Yes, the services are phenomenal. And young people out there, if you're listening, one day you may need those services. And we need to keep that millage. Renew it. Get out and vote. Plan your future now.
There you go.
I'll add a little more to that. My thing is, when I moved home in 05 from Seattle, Washington, out there in the country in Zachary, Cheneyville,
mm-hmm,
I was going to the center, but, you know, I didn't know what was going on or whatever, me getting home and everything. And then as I was going, and then I saw some of the seniors coming in, and then they were telling me about Council on Aging.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know, okay. And from that till now, in 2016, I started sewing. And all of that evolved from the senior center in Cheneyville and with Council on Aging. You know, it's like, wow, all of this is going on. And now there are over 40, 45 seniors that attend that center every day. I mean, every day up there in Cheneyville. And, you know, that's growth to me, and that's give the community something to do, you know, to meet people, fellowship, you know, whatever, every day. So it's very well needed.
And I'm going to say this because I know this show has been around for so long. There are a lot of seasoned citizens of EBR that listen to this show, and there may be people out there that didn't even know that this resource is out there for them, because even with the Meals on Wheels program, I've been around, I've seen the bingo. Have y'all been to the bingo? I've seen the arts and crafts. Even
yeah.
Speed Dating. Are y'all, well, you know, I know you out of it, but I've even seen this. You out of it too?
No.
Okay, but I've even seen the Speed Dating. So I've seen all type of activities in which it brings the trips, going on cruises, going to different cities and opportunities. So the fact that you're able to do all of these things and have that as a resource for a lot of people who may not have communication with family every day. A lot of people may sit at home and don't have any friends or socialization skills or socializing with anyone. So it really opens the door for a lot of people who may not have.
It really does. I'm a widow of 5 years now, and that first year was very rough on me. And one of my church members kept telling me, go to Council on Aging. It's one near you. Go. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I am a member of the advisory board. I represent my center on the advisory board that gives me a chance to interact with my fellow members at my center and bring it back to the board, bring it back to the administration. And it you really, really feel like family when you go to the centers. My exercising, I wasn't doing anything. And, you know, doctors tell seniors, move, move, move. So I have a Zumba class that I love. I have a fitness class, line dancing. You wouldn't believe the 80 and above
y'all in
seniors.
The cutting up.
Oh, we have a good time.
Y'all
have
in the
senior
digging.
Skip day. So we're getting our exercise. We can communicate with everybody. But we do want you to go vote today so that you can continue to enjoy these mm-hmm. social activities. I said I was a widow. When I got there, I met a lot of people that I could interact with mm-hmm. going through the same thing. And I have made great friends from that. We need your vote to continue these activities for all seniors in the state.
And I'll go back to you. What you got?
Go ahead. I'm going to piggyback off the young lady here when she said go vote. I mean, excuse me. If you don't vote, you don't have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no strength in your argument. So go vote. What else you got to do? Lord, wake you up this morning, get up and go vote. That's exactly right. Last day of early voting. So go vote. Another thing, too, is that Council on Aging, I mean, we specialize in seven tracks. By that, I mean we have fitness exercises, food and nutrition, health insurance systems, sexual health, wellness and lifestyles, chronic illness, I mean, financial health and security.
Mm-hmm.
What more or where else can you find that? I mean, already there, established for you, housing and everything else. You can't find it anywhere else. I mean, and like she said earlier, I'm sorry, like the young lady said earlier, you know, we have a staff that is 100% behind the seniors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's Miss Amar and her staff. They're no better, as far as I'm concerned.
I take it that COA excites you guys. Oh, I mean, to even be here this morning, because it's early. It's 7 yeah. something in the morning. Y'all woke up this morning and said, you know what, on the better, for the greater good of COA, we want to be here to speak on it. And I'm sitting here with it because I've seen it so many different ways. I've seen the senior skip days over the years. I've seen the property value in neighborhoods go up because of building housing communities. I've seen the property value in neighborhoods go up because of the senior centers that have been, rehabilitated and brought back online and opened up for the opportunity for seniors from, as you say, Cheneyville all the way to Antioch, all the way over and over and in between, you know.
Island Road.
And just the opportunity that it gives people throughout the parish. And for me, that means something because you never know. And for a lot of people, especially like where I'm from Arkansas, for a lot of folks I know, when you have kids and grandkids, they move off and go somewhere off in life and do their thing. And they kind of leave grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, you know, behind. And family typically isn't there to be right there with you all the time. And, you know, you got to have a life. And that life sometimes comes in the form of, you'll never know, Council on Aging, where you get up and get a chance to interact with people and have opportunities.
Well, I might say this. I've spoken to friends in other states. And I tell, what are you up to? Oh, well, I go to my senior center, and I tell them what we're doing here in East Baton Rouge Parish. We don't do that. So kudos to our staff who had the vision to bring all these extras on. So please vote for that millage, because that money is being used. You can see it in the housing, the Lotus Village that was built. I mean, there's a waiting list. Those are lovely apartments. Everything is wonderful there for our seniors. Pretty soon, the Care South has the Lotus Geriatric Clinic that's opening right there on Scenic Highway. That will be that seniors can go to. I mean, the resources, they're always bringing something in for us, and the community is beginning to partner with us. Hey, vote. Today is the last day of early voting. If you don't get there today, by all means, on June 27th, get out and vote.
Let's get ready to do this. Let's transition. Let me get Dr. Gilmore to get in here. I'm going to kind of transition right quick. Okay. And he's going to talk to us about that technical part of it, because look at him. He got his sign. Y'all, let's kind of switch out a little bit.
And I don't mind standing up. I can stand up.
Okay.
My mouth is big.
All right.
Yeah, my mouth is big.
Come on, Dr. Gilmore.
Good morning, everyone. Today is the last day to early vote. So if you haven't voted already, please go vote early today. Get it out the way. And if you can't vote today, then June 27th, go vote yes for these wonderful senior citizens here in East Baton Rouge Parish.
Now, give us a little bit more detail in terms of what's at stake here with this. If this does not pass, if it does pass, what's the understanding for people to know how severe this is for them to get out and support this?
So it's important. I'm glad you mentioned it that way, because a lot is at stake. We've talked about the wonderful things that the Council on Aging does. We talked about the 114 senior housing units that were built for affordable senior housing. We talked about the Meals on Wheels program, where millions of meals have been made and driven to senior citizens' homes who can't get out of their house, as well as at our congregate centers, these various senior centers, we provide hot meals for those individuals. So what's at stake? This goes away. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple, Perry. You cannot afford to build housing for seniors. You cannot provide medical supplies for seniors. You cannot feed seniors Meals on Wheels if you don't have any money.
And let me ask you this. When it comes to just everyday politics of a city, right, and how a city is operated.
Not this city, huh? Politics in this city?
Well, how important, you know, any city, town, you know, whatever village, how important is it to make sure we do not forget about this portion of this segment of the population?
Well, the blessing about life is that, and medicine and faith in Jesus Christ, is that people are living longer, believe it or not. And someone has to take care of our seniors. And Perry, you know, I'm 48. I'm not far from 60. One day I may need, not may, I will need these services. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important that we put politics aside. One of the wonderful things about the Council on Aging is that it's not income-based. And that's what we didn't say. So if you're retired and you're making $100,000 a year in your retirement, or you have zero retirement and all you got is Social Security, you qualify for this. So all politics aside, Democrat, Republican, black, white, whatever, you need to go out and support it, because it talks a lot about the moral value of a community and society, mm-hmm. about how we take care of our senior citizens.
That's right.
And how we take care of our children. And so this is a way that we have proven to take care of our senior citizens. And by the way, clean audits. Ms. Amar, Council on Aging, has been audited by the feds, by the state, and the city, and they have found zero things wrong, okay? Nothing. And so you know that your money is going to serve seniors, not going for things that are not senior-related. Mm-hmm. All this money that we're voting for today, the last day of early voting, and on June 27th, Election Day, goes into the hands of serving seniors, no matter what your race, no matter what your political party, no matter your zip code, no matter your income.
Let me ask you this. On the flip side of this, to make sure that people understand how severe this is, what happens to COA if the people do not get out and vote and this thing passes?
Again, we have to lay off, okay? Because right now, the COA has 135 employees who are case managers, who go out and assess the needs of every senior to see if they're hungry, if they need shelter, if they need just a good quality place to go and hang out every day. So number one, those individuals get laid off. Number two, the cooks. One thing that Miss Amor is proud of is that, and I'm willing to say this, she probably wouldn't. She's probably one of the highest number, this organization probably hires more second chance workers mm-hmm. than any other nonprofit or private company that I know of. And what I mean by that is Miss Amor, because of the millage, she can cook meals now all day and night for seniors. And a lot of the people that she has hired to are second chance people mm-hmm. who now have jobs. So what happens is we got 125 people that could be laid off without a job. Because of this millage, Miss Amor was able to provide good wages as well as retirement and health benefits. Mm-hmm. When she arrived there before this millage, we had 10 and 15 year employees who did not have retirement and health plan. Because of this millage, not only are we serving seniors, but she's providing good income, health care, and retirement for employees. So if we don't go out, not only do our seniors not get go out and vote, not only do our seniors not get served, but she's going to have to lay off employees mm-hmm. who are serving seniors. So it could be very catastrophic for us. I mean, we cannot do this without money. Yeah. And we have every 10 years, we have to renew this millage, just like we have to renew other millages. They don't last forever. Mm-hmm. The way the law works, it gives us as voters an opportunity to evaluate and to look at what an organization has done with our tax dollars and to go out and renew it. And today, the last day of early voting, and June 27th, we need to do that.
And I want to make sure I like to put it out there because for the average citizen, they have the questions and they get confused sometimes. This was on the ballot before, mixed in with a host of other things.
Initially. Oh, yeah. Now it's all the money going to the Council on Aging.
Okay, and I just want to make sure because
no mayor involved, nobody involved. All this money goes to the Council on Aging.
So describe what happened the first time to where we are now. So if somebody's out there, like, I thought we already did this. I want to make sure they understand there's a difference from the first time to where we are now.
Good question. So, well, the first time was 10 years ago. The citizens went out and voted for this millage. Mm-hmm. And now we are up for our 10-year renewal. Mm-hmm. What happened earlier this year was the city council and the mayor got together because they wanted to plug some budget deficits, some budget holes. And what they wanted to do was bring this on the ballot and say, you know, Council on Aging, give the city some of your money. And the residents of this parish voted no. Mm-hmm. And we heard it loud and clear. The residents of this parish said, no, we want all the money for the Council on Aging to go to senior citizens. We don't want you, Mayor, City Council, to take some of that money and put it in the city's budget. Mm-hmm. And they voted it down. And we are now back again right now, today, early voting on June 27th, what we call a clean millage, meaning all of the money, 100%, goes to serve these wonderful senior citizens. Nobody's taking any of their money this time around. So that's the difference. Good question to clarify with people.
Yeah, because I always want to ask, I think about the person out there who's like, should I not? And on the flip side of that, anything that you've heard where citizens have had questions that you may can answer where, you know, those questions arise and you want to clarify?
Well, the biggest two things, and Ms. Wooten said it earlier, believe it or not, you know, you have a lot of folks who say, well, that doesn't impact me. I'm not a senior citizen. And as I said earlier, Perry, it does. First of all, it tells about your moral values, because if you don't care about senior citizens, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be a senior citizen to love senior citizens and to want them to be able to eat, have clothing, have food, be able to have activities together. Yeah. So if you are below the age of 60 and you are saying, well, it doesn't impact me, it does. Mm-hmm. Because who wants to be in a community where senior citizens' lives are cut short because they don't have resources? Mm-hmm. So vote yes, even if you're under the age of 60. I've heard that from a few people. And we all have relatives in our family that are senior citizens. So, you know, go vote yes because your grandmother may still be here or your neighbor may be a citizen. And let me tell you, if you dial 923-8000, you are going to get the best care and customer service, no matter where you live, no matter what your income is. And so the Council on Aging is here for seniors. We as a community, we must value and cherish our seniors. not only because one day we may become seniors, but we may know somebody in need. And so even if you, I have friends who they say, James, my neighbor, you know, they're elderly. I never see their children come visit them. I think their children live out of town. Can the council on aging help them with some meals?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, easily. Yeah, your neighbor may need these meals, and you might not be 60, but you care about your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very important reason to go vote yes. And then again, we live in a time now where taxpayers feel as if they want to know how their money's being spent.
Of course.
And where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
All of this money goes to seniors. We are audited. The agency is audited on a regular basis because when you got government money, you're required to be audited.
Exactly.
And again, the findings show nothing. Okay, the staff, the accounting staff, the finance staff, and the wonderful board never get any findings in their audits. And it's been 9-10 years since we had this millage.
And
by the way, we're about the lowest millage on the ballot. We're talking about $25 if your house is worth $250,000 a year. $25 to take care of seniors in your community. And that's if your house is worth $250,000.
And what I want people to truly understand with the COA here in EBR, it has been used as an example nationally on what to do and how to build it up because of what this agency has done right here in this community to use as a national model for other cities to be able to build upon.
Absolutely. We built the 114 units. And I say we. I don't work there, but I'm a friend and family of the Council on Aging. They built the 114 units of senior housing, and they call it the Lotus Village.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the first senior Lotus Village in the state. And what I mean by that is you have the housing, then you have the senior center within a few blocks, okay? And then you have the geriatric center that's coming up. And so the vision that Ms. Amar has and what part of town they call that, the lakes or right outside of mid-city or the lakes?
The lake,
okay? The vision she has is that is a walkable community or an accessible community for seniors to be able to take care of wherever they need. Who knows? Her vision is also to put a grocery store in that area, a small grocery store.
And that means something for the value of the community, all of those homes and properties in that area.
The lake's been neglected for decades. Let's call it what it is, okay? Flooded over there, next to the railroad tracks. Nobody wants to live over there. My great-great-grandmother lived on Galesha.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been neglected for a long time. And Ms. Amar went in there and spent money with the infrastructure to be able to put in new drainage, okay, because we couldn't build houses where seniors flooded. And she's brought that community back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a model for the country and the state of what she's done as it relates to senior housing. And I'm glad you said that. You got some folks say, well, why is she building housing with our taxpayer dollars? It's because the advisory committee and senior citizens say that's a need.
Mm-hmm.
So the millage dollars is just not for meals, even though a huge portion of her budget goes to meals. Okay, again, she's made 8 to 9 million meals since this tax was passed. But also seniors have so many other needs. And housing was one of those needs. And I don't have to tell you about the shortage of affordable housing in Baton Rouge. Rent is high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even higher for seniors on limited income. And so that's why she built affordable housing for senior citizens. Transportation. You see the vans and the buses all around the city. Another gap was the need for seniors to get to their doctor's appointments and get to the grocery store or get to the senior centers. And so now they can call 923-8000 and schedule an appointment, and a ride comes and picks them up. Because many of our seniors, we don't want them to be sick at home because they can't get a ride to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go vote yes today. Early voting ends today. Get it out the way. What, Baker? You got Baker Early Voting Station or at the DMV. You got downtown. You got Corsi, and you got the State Archives building. Today is the day to go early vote yes for seniors. And if you can't make it today, then definitely go on June 27th.
And like as I get ready to close out, what I like about what you said, you see the taxpayer dollar go directly back into the community to build up the community. And for me, that's most important when you look at our community as a whole. The taxpayer dollar, you know, a lot of times, like where I'm from, they had a millage. It went somewhere, and then everybody was like, well, where did it go? They could not see it. But with this, you see it from Cheneyville all the way to Antioch, all the way
St.
in between
George.
St. George. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Every everywhere in between, you see where it is going, and it is building up property value, it's creating opportunities, and as well as taking seniors on trips across the country. Mm-hmm. It is culturally changing people. It's giving opportunities. And for that, I ask everybody to get out there and go vote. Last day of voting is when?
Today. Early voting is today.
Uh-huh.
And then the election is June 27th.
So you guys get out there and be able to do this. And I appreciate you guys for coming in this morning. Thank you guys for getting up. I know it's early. Is it too early for y'all? Didn't bring no donuts. Now, what the donuts? Yeah, y'all didn't bring no donuts.
Go vote.
All right, everybody. Let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll continue more of the Jaguar Journey. You guys stay tuned. YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, whatever live you're on, be sure to keep up with the Jaguar Journal across all social media, X, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, TikTok. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel and go over. We're on Twitch TV for, I know some of y'all don't know what that is. Our younger generation know what the Twitch TV, the live streaming, Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. We ain't hard to find. You type in the Jaguar Journal and you'll be able to find us right there. Listen, I got something for you guys, something I realized. So a lot of times what I realize here in this show, people want us to be a football-only show. I mean, I'll be honest, our most views typically come when we talk about football. But in, when we're not talking about football, the radio side always does good because this show is a radio show first. And most people, when they talk to me, they say, you still doing your podcast? And I'm like, it's not a podcast. It is a radio show that we happen to put on social media and on YouTube. But this is a radio show. It's one of the longest running radio shows in the state of Louisiana. Period, point blank. It's a radio show. But when I often realize when we look at on the metrics or the analytics when it comes to what we put up online outside of radio, people want us to talk about football. And if I put anything football on it, I promise you, the numbers are going to go through the roof. But oftentimes, what I try to do is bring things to you guys because everything, and I can't talk. I don't want to talk football 365 days of the year. I do not, because there are so many other things going on within our community. There are so many other things going on within Southern University, and we have to have those conversations. As you can see, when it comes to this show, we talk about health. We talk about community. We talk about education. We talk about society. And we talk about sports. And I try to sprinkle all of that in to make sure that while we do this once a week for 2 hours, that we're able to talk about the very things that impact our community. When football season get here, I promise you, I'm going to give you all the football you can handle. But until then, there's plenty of things to talk about in the community. What I found out, a lot of folks simply just don't care about what's happening in the community. They don't care about what's happening on the educational side. They don't care about none of that. They just ready to talk about some Southern University football. And I got it. And I'm all good with that. But I just want to make sure there's an understanding, because I know when people tune in, they're looking for that. Well, you're not going to get that all the time. When it's time for football, I'm going to, as anybody know, I'm going to break down Southern football is better than anybody else you know. I'm going to break it down to everything you want. That's why people tune in through the football season. I have held every coach accountable since I've been doing this show, breaking down seasons for you guys. So you know you're going to get the best when it come that time. But I want you to understand, we present platforms for all type of information and news that's out there, because it ain't always about football. And for somebody out there, it may be something that could be useful for them, and it may be something that can help their community. And I just want to make sure that, because, and I say all that to say, this past week, after last week when I had Kirk White on, and we had that conversation about Southern's lost Rutgers game, about Dr. Dennis Shields, the former Southern University system president, that thing started to get a lot of traction. I got people to send me texts. They was like, hey, do I got to send a bodyguard over there to you? I'm like, for what? Who after me? For what? And I realized what people were saying to me, that it was refreshing to hear open dialogue, because one thing I get from a lot of people in this space, we believe everything should be hush-hush, closed door. Why don't talk about it publicly? Why are you talking about it aloud? The same thing happened with the Marshall Faulk situation. Why would you do that? Why do you... I am a person, and anybody knows, we're going to have these conversations. This is a radio show. Matter of fact, not just a radio show. It is a call-in radio show, 225-499-4444. 1073. Anytime you want to call in, I just gave you the number. You call in now. 225-499-1073. I open this thing up to have conversation and dialogue out there because guess what? Everything ain't always peachy. Everything ain't always this perfect paradise. There are reasons to have conversations, and sometimes they are hard conversations to have. And I know some people may be nervous to have the conversation out loud in the public, but, you know, I'm not of the generation where you don't say anything, you put your head down, and you just hope for the better day. Or you just, you know, you just pray it's going to be better tomorrow. I'm going to have the honest conversation, and I'm going to ask the honest questions because that's what you're supposed to do. In my household, it was always taught to communicate, not only communicate effectively, but be honest in your communication. Do not lie to me. Do not try to sugarcoat it. Tell me how you feel and why you feel that way. That way, then I can better then understand how I need to move forward with communicating with you. And that's how I use the Jaguar Journal in that same sense when it comes to what we talk about in our communities, what we talk about, especially when it comes to Southern University. And sometimes it is constructive criticism to the point it does upset people. You know how many people have been upset with me over the years at Southern? But can they call me a lie? Because I promise you, if someone could call me a lie, they would have been called into the show or they would have been stopped me and told me, Perry, you be lying on the radio. They can't call me a lie. And what I do is I try to go out and I get the people themselves. And you guys don't realize, I know a lot of times you ask, well, why he don't get this? How many times I reach out to administrators and anybody else, board, anybody from Southern to get them to come on this show. And oftentimes it comes with not available, no response. I make sure that we hold people, politicians, administrators, educators, anybody accountable. That is my duty to be a productive citizen in this community, in any community. And then have the conversation open with you guys and then involve you to be a part of it. Let's get ready to take a break. And when we come back on the inside, we'll continue more of the Jaguar Journal. You guys stay tuned, all right? We're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. We're going to the lines. I think we got my man Chuck on the line. Good morning, Chuck. It's been a while. How you doing?
Good morning to you. I'm just adding on what you were talking about. You're right about these conversations of people think it's only about sports, but that's what happened. You know, I always hear people in these sports talk radio stations say, "Oh, keep politics out of sports." I said, well, politics generates anything that we do in this life. You have to have these discussions. Hey, let's face it. The people in sports are going to, like here in the state, they always gonna go to that tall building there in your city, which is the Louisiana State Capitol building. If it's something that's going on, it'll be with the LHSA. It's gonna be talked about in the Capitol on the floor during sessions. And also, you know, that person that we know quite well with sports, he's been going twice speaking to Congress and the Senate, which is Nick Saban, constantly talking to them about the college landscape, about some of my guardrails and all that. Hey, politics generates a lot of things. There's no way around it. And what happened, the ones that do that talking and saying, oh, keep politics out of sports, but they always want to follow that person that I don't even want to call his name that puts that bigoted rhetoric out there. They always follow him, but if someone that's progressive-minded person, they're going to go and bash him right away.
You right,
there's
Chuck.
No way around it.
Yeah, okay. You right, man. I appreciate you for giving me a call this morning, Chuck, man. Good to hear from you.
All right. You all take care, and you all have a great weekend, and happy Father's Day to whoever's fathers out there. I'm just an uncle. That's it. I don't know if I count for anything. All right.
Appreciate you, Chuck.
All right. You take care.
Yeah, we might need to check those lines as the show go on, make sure our lines are good. Before I went to break, you know, I was letting you know a lot of people that show got interest. It kind of just took off about talking about Dr. Shields and that piece Kirk White. And, you know, I saw some people who agreed and I saw some people who disagreed. Listen, everything on this show you don't have to agree with and everything, you know, it is okay. And I'm okay with people that disagree with me. I'm not right. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. This show is about bringing about thought, open dialogue, and hearing it from somebody like myself, who's going to be, in my opinion, brutally honest with you. No need to sugarcoat it. I don't do any sugarcoating. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel in that moment, and I'm going to be honest about how I feel. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the part of the conversation. And I think oftentimes that's what's missing from this country. Good, healthy conversation where we don't have to be yelling and cussing and fussing at each other. We have to understand each other. And that's putting something on the table. That's having dialogue. And then that's saying, hey, what can we meet to have an understanding in between? And even if we don't meet in between with no understanding, we don't have to hate each other. We don't have to have issues with each other. I just stand in a different position now than I did yesterday because now I got a better understanding of what I'm dealing with the conversation. And I am always okay with having that conversation. And for anybody that ever comes on this show, I'm going to ask the questions aside from the fluff questions, to throw them in the air, and I hope you catch it. No. We're going to talk about the issues. I don't never ask the questions of the answers that everybody know. I ask the questions of the answers that everybody want to know. That the average person is going to sit around and say, what's happening to the money? Where is this going? Why should I vote? Why should I be a part of this? What's happening over here? What's happening over there? Why isn't this this and why isn't this that? I was raised that way. I've just found the older I get, and especially in this space, a lot of people was not raised to be honest in every faction. And then I realized even having conversations like with my grandmother, she would say, you know, back in the day with her parents and older people, there was a lot of things they just didn't talk about. They just kind of let it be. They never really wanted to bring it out to the forefront. With me, I'm going to bring it out regardless of what it is. Hey, what about this? Hey, what about that? So-and-so. I need understanding. Now, if you say I don't want to talk about it, cool. I'm not going to push the envelope and just, you know, get on your nerves. But I believe there is a reason for our communities. That one more, nothing's going on. What's going on is having an honest conversation. That's what's going on. And a lot of times we as a community and we as a people do not understand honest conversation. We don't take a lot of things serious outside of sports. And we try to protect it. And when you bring things out, some people feel like you're jeopardizing. Oh, the HBCU, oh, the community. Why? Man, have the conversations. Talk out loud and be honest about what's going on. Even when if there's something happening in your own home, in your relationships, in your community, with your children, with your spouse. Sit down and have conversations, because there used to be a time where we sat down and ate dinner together and talked with each other and understood how each other's day. These phones has taken that away. For those who can unplug themselves, it has not. And that's all I'm saying. We have to be okay and honest with each other when it comes to how operations and how we see operations. And in particular, this is a Southern-based show, honestly. So if I see things as Southern and it ruffles feathers, or if I see things in the community and it ruffles feathers, it's okay with me, because guess what? I'm starting a conversation and I'm okay with having an open conversation that may bring about change or may bring about a different thought process. I remember, let me tell you how much the thought process changed. How many of y'all old enough to know, we had some older folks in your family, when it stormed, they cut off everything in the house and you sat in darkness or you sat in quiet? If it was lightning, they cut the TV off, they cut the lights off, and they sat quietly. Anybody out there remember that? We ain't got to do that no more. You can still watch TV when it's storming and lightning outside. All right, you can still be on your phone. We don't got to do that no more. That's my point. We ain't got to cut the lights off and sit quietly anymore when it's storming outside. And that storm can be anything in life. We can move forward and have conversations. I want y'all to just understand where I'm going with this. All right, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on this side. My man, John Grant from the MEAC SWAC Challenge and the Celebration Bowl. He is the executive director. He's going to talk to us about a new partnership. And Southern fans, you're talking about football. Don't you want to go to the Celebration Bowl? We was in the MEAC SWAC Challenge last year. So we'll get a better understanding if Southern does make it, what to expect this year. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.